The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, welcome to Who's On Content, a show that explores and dissects the influential, behavioral altering power of content through thought-provoking, culturally relevant, and industry-shifting dialogues. I'm your host, of course, EJ, Head of Special Projects at DBA, and I'm so fucking excited for you to join me on this journey of getting to know the innovative leaders and creators in our insanely addictive industry of content marketing. I mean, if content is the only influencer of behavior, we might as well figure out who's on content. Let's get into it. Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Who's On Content. And today we're going to talk about the content of positivity and how positive content can have a positive impact on your life. And I mean, let's face it, between the algorithming, and with so much hate going on around the world, it's really important that we check the content that we bring into our lives every day, because as we know, everything is content, and everything that we intentionally and really unintentionally consume can have damaging and sometimes long-lasting effects if we aren't careful. And my guest today is someone who is truly the lightness herself. Her content exudes positivity, but her content also is vulnerable and enjoyable. I'm talking about Shanae Alexander. Shanae is a former Texan turned New Yorker. Shanae is an entrepreneur, lifestyle personality, writer, speaker, and wellness expert based in Brooklyn, New York. Her message is to empower people to be better through positive thinking, active change, and self-love, with a lot of laughing and curse words along the fucking way. You know how much we love curse words here at Who's On Content, so Shanae's our girl. In addition to publicly talking about her deep inner dislike of kale in front of thousands on the internet, Shanae owns a successful event company, speaks to groups all over the country, and is in the beginning stages of her first book, and has also created your favorite podcast, Press Send. When she's not trying to change the world, you'll find Shanae pondering whether or not a runner's high is actually a thing. I'm still wondering that myself, while enjoying a glass of Malbec and a nice salad, pizza and or tacos included. Shanae truly is someone who is doing the work herself and working through self-acceptance, self-actualization, and self-representation through the content she shares with her community. I know right now is such a scary time and place in the world, so I hope this conversation with Shanae and I really uplifts you and challenges you to create boundaries even when it comes to the content you're consuming. Let's get into this episode. The one, the only, the lightness herself, Shanae Alexander. Welcome to Who's On Content.
Being called the lightness herself by the lightness himself. I mean, compliment of the century, and listen, I'm so happy to be here with you.
Good people know good people, and good energy literally finds good energy. And so when we first met in New York and I sat down next to you, I felt the light. You know what I mean? You know how some people have room-shifting energy? When you walk in a room, the energy instantly shifts to you. That's what I felt, because I instantly turned and was just like... And so before we dig into all things that make you the lightness herself, I first want to know, how do you define content?
I think I define it a lot differently than most people do, because I think the word content, it makes it sound like everything's very produced, you know, and like, yes, we are producing our own lives. And as a lifestyle creator, it's kind of, you know, it's odd to say like your job is you. But I think for me, content is about the sharing of it all. And I don't mean every minute of my life, but it is about sharing a holistic view of the subject. And so in this case, the subject is me. And I think that's where a lot of times, you know, like I don't schedule posts. I don't pre-write things unless it's required by my brain. Like I woke up this morning and I wrote something that I was thinking, I was feeling. And that's how I've done it since I started on Instagram in 2015. Organically sharing every day what's at top of mind.
Got it.
And what's in my spirit.
Okay, because that's what I was going to ask. I was going to say, is being less prescriptive allowing you to be more you and be more authentic?
100%. 100%.
And I think that that's what we always like to kind of make that connection for people as we have these conversations, is because you are so tapped into you and what Shanae needs today and not 3 weeks from now, for in the moment, right? The content of Shanae in that very moment, that very second, is this. And I will share this. And that is likely why you have a community versus an audience, because they see truly you in all the various forms that you present yourself to them.
I like to look at it less of like what I think other people should hear from me, because a lot of, if you're not familiar with my content and you're listening, it is a lot to have to do with, you know, body image and feminism and politics and thoughts on, you know, being a mixed kid growing up, you know, and family dynamic, and along with fun things like beauty and all of that. But for me, it's not only like what's top of mind for me, but because I have such a close-knit community on Instagram, it is always me reaching into my brain saying, here's what is thoughtful to me, what's sitting on my spirit today. But then also, like, I always, when I'm writing or I'm making something, I'm thinking about like, who will this help? Who will this hit? Like, what value does this bring to someone? And sometimes it's just comfort. Sometimes it's laughing. Sometimes it's education. But to me, I want content to have a purpose. Always.
Boom.
And I want to have a purpose. And that's not.
And I'm getting comfortable now because I'm like, yes.
Take off that jacket.
We have warmed up now. I mean, well,
I'm not wearing anything but this sweater. So if I get too comfortable, you're gonna be see me topless. So the purpose behind the sharing of life.
Mm-hmm. Like, why are you sharing this with other people? And I think, and I had this conversation with someone. And I said, we are now living in a space and place where the ownership of our actions have been given to other people. Oh, the algorithm made me see this thing and now I'm doing something I don't want to do. Or, oh, this person said something and I reacted this way, but it's because of what they said. At what point do we take responsibility for who we are and the content that we allow in and what we allow that content to do to self?
I have a really interesting question for you.
Go for it.
So, and I would love to hear your thoughts. I was talking to another creator and she runs a nonprofit and we were talking about the sharing of good works online.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember last year, and I do this every year, and I just shared it last year because I was like, man, the world is like a little down bad. We need like a little like lift.
Yeah.
You know, not that we're so much better now, but I was like, okay, something that's making me feel really like I'm helping the world is I make like little kits for homeless people that I keep in my car.
Mm.
And so when I come upon an unhoused person that wants help, it has socks, it has condoms, it has like tissues, it has hand warmers, especially in the wintertime in New York. It's very intense. And so I shared this and this funny thing happened. There were these two reactions and mostly like 80, 90% was like, this inspires me. I'm going to do this.
Yes.
Oh my God, this is such an easy thing to do. Like, and I had gotten tips from like people that had worked in shelters before of like what people really need. Like most people wouldn't think of condoms or socks, but those are things that people really need, along with like hand sanitizer at the time, like masks and things like that. So they could even go in a store to buy something. So 80, 90% was really like positive. There were a few people that were like, why do you have to show the good things that you do online? And for me, it left me with this conundrum when I was talking to this fellow creator about this last night. Is it like, you don't want to be performative.
Yes.
You really do want to share your heart and you want to equip and inspire other people to do good things.
Mm-hmm.
But I know some people do those kinds of things online just to get the accolades.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you fall on that? Like, what do you think about, because we're talking about positivity online and spreading that and sharing that. But is it performative sometimes or is it inspiring?
To me, and this is subjective, right? For me personally, the Bible is a performance, but it showed me what grace and mercy was. You know, when you go to church, your pastor is giving you a performance of the word. And so he's giving you a performance so you can then be inspired to perform good acts. So if I think about where I'm receiving content, and if I see positive things that people are doing, kudos to them for performing positive works, for performing and coming from a place of service. Everything we do, you're performing an act.
Right.
And so I would rather see people posting the good things they have, right? But it can be performative in a sense of disingenuous. And you know right. who those people are. They you instantly right. know that out offline, IRL, they are a trash ass human being. You know what I mean?
No,
and, they, and people
no,
have the receipts and be like, this bitch is not who she says she is online.
Right.
But I do want to start to see more people say, I am donating my time. I am donating this. I am doing this. And actually be those people offline.
I think it also puts a lens on us as the viewer.
Yep.
You know, let's take us out of the content machine. Let's be the viewer.
Yep.
If our hearts are turned cold right away to something, and we're, you know, what is that? Where is that coming from? Is that shame?
Exactly.
Is that jealousy? Is that guilt?
Yes.
Is that a jadedness to the world? Like, I have to always examine when I have that thought.
Yes.
You know, and I talked about this on my podcast today, actually, that's coming out this week. I was talking about, you know, genuinely being happy for each other when good
genuinely
things happen.
Oh my God. I just want to thank Universe right now for this moment. Because I actually went through something a couple of weeks ago and it broke me because I know my life's purpose is to be of service to something greater than myself, to serve God's children however I can. And I do that through talent and marketing and content. And the fact that I've always worked out of a place of service, not expecting anything in return, it still kind of like makes me emotional sometimes. Because it's like, when are we genuinely happy for someone else?
Yeah. And I think when you can get there, when you can actually genuinely look at the person that got engaged, got the new job, mm-hmm. graduated with a master's, you know, went on the fabulous trip. Like, when you can actually pull yourself out of your ass enough and say, wow, I'm actually in a place that I'm genuinely happy for their success. I'm really genuinely happy. Like, that's when you actually know that you're good.
Yes.
And people always think, you know, I have to compete with this person. No, you don't have to compete with them. You actually have to, if you can get to the place where you can be happy for what they're doing
yep.
and be content and happy in what you're doing, and those things don't compete, that's actually the success.
And you are so successful at being authentically you. At what point did you realize that the career of Shanae Alexander exists and I am being paid to show up as myself?
Yeah, it's a strange thing, isn't it? Sometimes people are like, when older people are like, explain your job to me.
I'm right.
like, huh.
Right.
This is uncomfortable. My grandmother, before she passed, we couldn't explain to her what I did. But since I worked with Adidas, she told all of her friends that I was a foot model. Which, you know, if you need to simplify, if you're a creator out there and you need to simplify what you do, just tell people you're a foot model and you won't get any follow-up questions. But anyway, I was a marketing director for 8 years before, and then I started my own event planning company. And the reason I had those two jobs is my passion was always people. And like you, I mean, you work in marketing, you work with talent.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I did feel that same feeling of service and like, how can I do the job that other people are doing, but do it in the way that I would want to be treated, mm-hmm. I would want to be cared about, in ways that I find valuable and uplifting for the world around me? Like, how can I do this in a different way that's not cutthroat, that actually is about lifting other people? And so when I left my corporate job of 8 years, started an event planning company, because I still, the through line for me was people. I loved working with people at my marketing job. I went and I was like, well, then now my job is to actually celebrate people.
Mm.
That is my career. And that is a fun career. It's stressful, but really I so reveled in celebrating people and showing up for them on their days, whether mm-hmm. that be a brand launch or a wedding or a, you know, a personal party, whatever it was. And then I actually started content creating as an accident. I was interviewing for a social media job at ClassPass. I started an Instagram account about fitness because I wanted to show them, because I had no professional experience in social media. I was like, I have a 300 follower Instagram account about fitness. And they were like, unfortunately, ma'am, see your way out. And so, but I kept doing it because I love the people. Mm-hmm. I love the community that I was building. I was like, wow, I get to talk to 300 strangers a day yes. about their lives. This is so cool. And so the novelty of that has never worn off. I'll tell you a story. This is one of the stories that makes me proud to do my job and shows me the relative importance of it. So a girl messaged me one year and she said, "My boyfriend cheated on me and I don't know what to do. It seems like if I leave or if I stay, there's shame in that. I'm shamed for leaving and I'm shamed for staying by different groups of people." She said, "Do you have any advice of what I should do?" And I said, "If you decide to stay, you have to fully forgive and you cannot let this hang over your marriage.
Yep.
But if you decide to leave, there's no shame in that. And personally, I would probably not be able to stay. But you have to make that decision and then follow through on the actions."
Mm-hmm.
And so it was an amazing thing. Was a couple years later, I got an email from a guy who, my audience is mostly women. It's women and fabulous gay men. That's pretty much who I serve.
Listen,
that's the altar I bow down to. And you know what? I wouldn't change it for the world.
The future is female.
Exactly.
So, gay men are just the glitter.
Yeah, I think we have to team up to rule the world.
For sure.
Actually. But I got an email from this guy and he said, "I just wanted to thank you. And I wanted you to be one of the first people to know that you helped my wife in one of the toughest parts of our relationship. And now we're married and we're expecting our first child and our relationship is better than ever. And I just wanted to thank you for giving her that advice a couple years ago."
Wow.
And it still makes me emotional because all of us worry that our work on this earth doesn't matter.
Yep. Yep.
We all worry that we will leave the planet without an imprint or that somehow our existence will not have been meaningful. And for me, like, I'm not saving the world and neither are you.
Right.
And neither are most people. No. And the thing is like, I think when you know, when we're taught as kids, be the superhero, save the earth, be the astronaut, be this. like nobody talks about the beauty and the small purpose we can have that actually amounts to something so much greater. And so, you know, some people, when I meet them, they're like, "Oh, you're an influencer. Like, that looks fun." And I'm like, it is fun, but there is so much, for me at least, there's so much responsibility with doing this job. Just like I'm
because
sure
you
for
take
you.
It so, you understand,
seriously.
Like you said, the small purpose. This small purpose will have greater impact on someone, this couple who saw your content, engaged with your content, and because of your content now has more positive content in their IRL lives. Like,
right,
you and I think some people, to your point, some people don't know how to take online and translate it to offline,
right?
And when we think about where we are as a world, I can't even say a country, like the entire world is hurting. There's war online. There's war offline. It's like people are seeking and needing love. And love validates you. It honors you. It respects you. And it's all the things that I feel like is missing from content. The love of why we do the things we do. We're only doing them as a means to an end and missing the part of I should actually love what I do and love what I see.
And I think like, you know, we often talk about like manifesting as like, I'm manifesting what I want.
That manifest, like, she's the news buzzword.
I mean, but like, you know, we're always taught like manifest for the things you want, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But we're doing a different type of manifesting in how you live. Doing the actions day to day and like living out the way you want your life to be and engaging with the things that align with where you want your life to be, that's also a living, breathing manifestation. If you want to seek out a healthy, happy relationship, you need to start investing in happy relationships around you.
Yes.
Invest in your friends' relationships. Mm. Follow people that speak truthfully about love and partner dynamics and all of that online. Like, start investing in those things. And then when you actually have that in front of you, you know what the fuck to do with it.
Yeah. And when you start investing in something, back to your earlier point, understand why this thing is what you're investing in and why this is how you define success in something you may not have. I'm only engaging with whatever content that relationship is providing for context. But I also have to say, why does this look successful and the other thing look unsuccessful? And so I think it's okay when you, in some forms, emulate the positive content that you take in, because you can't be anything you can't see. And it's not that you're trying to be someone else. You're just trying to have more positive impact on self. So then self is a positive reflection of someone that is loved and very in tune to who they are.
Yeah. Let's say you're following, you know, this ultra cool girl on Instagram and you're like, I'm a little bit jealous of her, but also like, I think she's so cool and she's the best style and she seems to have her life all together. Like, it's not about you being Hailey Bieber. It's about you saying, like, what qualities in this person's life do you admire? And it's not about, oh, I like her nails, so let me get her same nails, or let me get a boyfriend that looks like hers, or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's about saying, okay, you know what I really like is that when she talks about X, Y, and Z, she actually is really truthful and honest. She does share some difficult things in her life. Oh, also, I love that she's a personal style. That doesn't have to be my style, but I should look inward and develop my personal style, because I think it's really cool that someone has that for themselves. Oh, I love their home aesthetic. I don't need that to be my home aesthetic, but what would it look like to create a space for myself that feels comfortable and safe and cozy? Why do I not feel like I deserve that? So I think, like, it's not about being a carbon copy of the thing you want. It's about looking at the things that you want in what maybe someone else has, or the content that you're, you know, absorbing, and stepping back and saying, like, how can I do that for myself in a way that actually serves me individually?
Yes. Yeah. And how do you do that? What content are you consuming? Because we all are content.
Yeah.
But we are peripherally influenced, because life is life. And so we have to be very in tune with self to block out negative content that may challenge who we ultimately want to become. And what content are you taking in to be Shanae Alexander?
So ever since I was little, I've loved comedy. I love to laugh, but I appreciate the art of making someone laugh so much. And so I follow a lot of comedians, not because I just selfishly want to take in their content and laugh, but truly because I admire the guts every day to just go up and say the truth and make it in a way that is palatable. And somehow I feel like, I'm like, man, again, I don't need to be a stand-up comedian, but how can I make the daily shit of life funny and consumable and yes, like enjoyable for my audience? So that's one. Number two is I follow other creators that I've met in the space. So really, I want to be able to root for people that I know in real life. Like, I don't really follow a lot of creators that I don't know, unless they have a real niche and I am just really interested in what they're doing specifically. But I don't follow a lot of people who, you know, might be like Instagram famous. A lot of my friends will be like, oh, you know this person. I'm like, no, I have no idea who that is. They're like, they have 2 million followers. I'm like, I have no idea. I've
You're
never
like, girl, I don't know her, Mariah Carey.
Like, I don't know like, her. I have never been like a celebrity person or like a celebrity idolizer or any of that. So same thing with influencers. Like, I follow peers who I know and who I want to genuinely invest in their life and their content. I love following their like families and their trips and things like that, because they're my friends.
Right.
And then the rest of it is mostly like dogs. I consume a lot of dogs. And you know what?
That is
dogs
real.
Dogs are who I want to be in the world. Loving, happy to be there, sleeps a lot.
Always comfortable, forgiving.
Always forgiving and comfortable in their body.
Comfortable.
I love it.
You could play cozy after that. I'm with you on that dog content.
And then I do follow a lot of like politics. We've talked about this before.
Yes,
I'm really invested in politics. I really follow most like people involved in politics or government on Twitter, but I do follow some of them on Instagram. And then also any like experts with crisis around the world. I like to follow experts that are either like reporting from the crisis or who are really good at synthesizing information.
And so, why do you do that? Because I think people need to understand that you can no longer live in a state of naivete, in the sense of, I don't know about that war, or I don't know about this controversy or this global crisis, because I just need to, like, you know, stay positive and peaceful. And that's fine. But But you must take ownership of understanding what's happening in the world, because even if you are the most positive, free-thinking, unicorns and sunshines type of person, you are going to interact and experience some fucked up shit because of the content that's out there.
Here's the thing. If you find yourself privileged enough to not absorb what's going on in the world, you are privileged enough to know all about what's going on in the world and not have it horribly affect you.
Exactly.
And so if you have the privilege to tune out, you actually have the privilege and the responsibility to be the one that's most tuned in, because you are not actively hiding yourself from trauma that's happening to you. So for me, I live in New York City. I make a fine income. I am half Asian, but I have the privilege of being white passing a lot of times. I am college educated. I have, you know, a flexible job. So to me, it's like, I have a responsibility to know what the fuck is going on in the world. Right. Like, just because I have a quote unquote, like, happy life doesn't mean I have to disengage with people that are not living the same exact life. And in fact, I have more responsibility to actually engage with it, amplify it, and do something about it. So for me, not knowing is not only irresponsible, but for people who often say, I don't like to get involved, or like, the news really upsets me. Well, yeah, it's upsetting. Like, it's happening to people. Like, and those are the people that will slap a Bible verse on their, their profile and have memes about like love. And you're like, it's really easy to have empathy for things that you don't know about.
Right.
It's really easy to have empathy and love for a world that always loves you back.
Yeah.
If you engage with the fact that the world doesn't love everyone back, you can have a lot more real empathy for what is going on. And you can actually use your voice, your platform, whether it's you have 2 followers or 2 million, to help make things better. Whether that is getting people out to vote, whether that is to advocate for different groups who need your support, whether that's to raise money, whether that's to help educate and have micro conversations with people around you. Like, you have a purpose and you have privilege. So this is your time to step in. Like, we don't get to ignore the world. You are living in it. It's just like when people say, I don't get into politics. Well, politics is in you.
Period.
So get into it, because it is ruling your life. I don't care what you say. Do you drive a car? Do you get trash picked up? Do you have to, you know, step around unhoused people on the street
who
need your help? Like, will you need reproductive care one day? Do you go to the doctor? All right. Well, then politics is already in your life. So you better get to know about it.
I mean, and with that message, we're going to go right into rapid fire, because that is a call to action. I'm going to ask you 4 questions. After each question, I'm going to ask you who's on content. You ready?
Yeah.
Your favorite form of content. Who's on content?
Podcasts.
Ooh, what are you listening to?
Do you listen to Lost Culturistas?
No.
Okay, I'm obsessed with them. Matt Rogers, Bo and Yang, 2 gay comedians. Bowen's on SNL. Matt's a comedian and writer. They are so funny, but they also really uplift different communities. And I love to laugh.
I love it. Love it. Okay. When you need to be inspired, who's on content?
I love people doing the work on Twitter, just like in different parts of the world.
Like Twitter BEM or Twitter AEM? Before Elon Musk, after Elon Musk, because that's where we are now.
Yeah, I'm talking. I think we're all talking BEM.
We're all talking BEM.
Yeah. One of my favorite people to follow on Twitter, BEM, is Jose Andres, the chef, who has a nonprofit that goes to different crises around the world and feeds people. And he does it in such an organized, excellent way. And he's at every conflict from hurricane to war. And it's incredible. If you want to feel inspired, go follow his content on Twitter.
Okay. All right. Well, there you have it. When you need a reset, who's on content?
My friends. I spend alone time with people I love.
Yes. Genuine interaction and human connection.
They are on content. They are on the real content, in the sense of being able to, like, we get so wrapped up in the online life, mm-hmm. and I want to stay deeply rooted in the outside of that.
Yes, same. Send me a handwritten note any day.
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
Oh, nothing like it, right? Last rapid fire. When you need to feel joy, who's on content?
There's so many avenues for this. But honestly, the creativity of random ass people on TikTok, I mean,
I love it.
Like, people are so creative. I'm in awe. I'm in awe, human, and it makes me laugh. And yes. I'm like, I have no idea who you are. You have made 2 videos. Like, I can't even give you a name.
Right.
But you are funny. Ugh. Like, watching random strangers go about their day in a humorous way, I'm like, this is the best. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to have crazy technology. Mm-mm. All you have to do have is a phone and a good sense of humor.
That's it. And you, as the viewer, just need to have an open mind and an open heart. Because right? when you have an open mind and an open heart, you receive it for just what it is, something of viewing pleasure. Not something yeah. to be judged or over, like, analyzed. And that's why it brings you joy, because you're just like, oh my God, look at this person. Like, this is a joyous moment they're having.
Yeah. 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 I love it.
All right. My final question for you, Shanae, and we've talked about a lot about truly being positive reinforcements to self, but then positive representatives to others. And so with the future of content marketing, influencer marketing, Web3, we're literally going deeper and deeper down the dark web and into unknown spaces and places. What's the future of our industry?
So I would say the world goes in cycles. So you see it with mm-hmm. food the fastest, because food is something that we all encounter every day. And so, or we should be encountering every day. So remember when the 90s were like all microwave? It was like, let's make it fast.
Yes,
let's make it now. Like, it doesn't matter if it tastes like butt. Let's just eat it.
I love me a good Stouffer's lasagna. Fire. Oh,
we were like a Healthy Choice French bread pizza house, ooh. Which was, it was like, it was truly bad. It had like, they were like pepperoni and it had like 90 calories or something. But like, we went from wanting things fast and rapid and so many options and easy to make. And I think that's where we're at now.
Yep.
But if you look at like food trends, people rallied from that and they said, whoa, 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 whoa. This is like not, we need to actually like go back to the beginning and say like, where did our food come from?
Yep.
How can we make it in a way that, you know, like it's better for the earth, better for us, all of this. And so I think where we're at right now is we are in the 90s TV dinner stage of social media.
That is more, a good more, analogy. More,
make it quick, make it this. And I think where we're going is a more grounded approach. And I think that sounds insane, because you're like, how are we moving toward more groundedness? But I actually think because we've swung so far in one direction, I think we're going to start craving knowing more about the people who make the content.
Yeah.
Going back to a place of authenticity, even though that world has been truly bastardized. But we want to know where our food comes from next. And yes. we're going to want to know where our content is coming from. And we're going to analyze things a little bit deeper. And we're going to slow it down a little bit and consume more quality rather than more.
And we will become more socially in tune, and pun yes. intended. Because yes. we will know what's happening in society, but we will also see how that plays out on social.
Yes.
Ugh. And with that, Shanae, I mean, I just, no words, just all emotions in the most positive way. You are a source. You are a light. And I am grateful to know you, grateful to be of service to you, and grateful to have you on the show.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. And no tango is dancing without two. So thank you. And I think every time you doubt that, you have people like me yeah. who are going to tell you the opposite. It's important what you do, and it's important that you're there. So thank you for being here.
And I received that. Thank you. Thanks again for listening. Be sure to follow us at The Real DBA and give us a rating and leave us a review. See you next week. We'll be right back.
note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.